This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Welcome to Your Valuable Home, the show that's about education for homeowners and residential real estate investors, because educated buyers make smart choices on home purchases and improvements. I'm contractor Kevin Kennedy, host of Your Valuable Home.
Yes, and I'm Ron Milk, producer and co-host. If you're a homeowner or have investment real estate, we've got your back.
You'll learn how to choose a contractor, get and compare estimates, check quality construction, avoid huge upfront payments. We'll share home improvement trends, projects in the works, and homeowner horror stories.
We interview experts from across the country about everything from new building products, homeowners insurance, leveraging home equity, what's hot in real estate, which products make for an unhealthy home, and much more.
Your Valuable Home airs here Sundays at 6 p.m. thanks to Tom Adams Windows and Carpets, with four locations in Churchville, Southampton and Doylestown, and Whitehall in the Lehigh Valley.
Tom Adams is the friendly, family-owned place known for award-winning installation and customer service and a wide selection of windows, doors, flooring, siding, and much more. Tom Adams has been satisfying customers throughout the region for 65 years. Check out TomAdamsWC.com or call 215-357-7000.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia.
A radio.com station.
Now,
from the Malamut and Associates Law Studios.
Welcome home. Your Valuable Home with Kevin Kennedy and Ron Milk, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you own a home, this show's for you. If you own rental real estate, this show's for you. Get educated from the pros. They have your back when it comes to improving your real estate. It's Your Valuable Home. Your Valuable Home.
And I want to thank our listeners for coming back to another great show we're going to have here today, Ron. Hey, before we get started, Ron, I love doing shout outs, but I want to give one to all the military, the police, the firemen who really put their lives
on the line.
Sounds
good to me, yeah.
So I just want to give those guys a shout out for doing such a great job, and we support you. And Ron, now it's time for the replay. And we have a returning guest coming on the show today.
Yeah, Russ is like a regular on the show, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, Russ is, the whole house is done over again. He's by far stands out in his development. So we,
Russ, you're going to have to get it. If you like these projects, you're going to have to buy another house now to start over again.
I'm hoping he does.
Yeah. I hope
not. Well, when we talk about what we're going to, the bedroom we're doing, I know we had them all for the kitchen, the powder room, the back porch that we did, a phenomenal back porch. We did the bathroom. Yep. That was last year. Now we're doing a bedroom. Now you think a bedroom's going to be, yeah, it's a couple of painted walls. It's not. And that's what we're going to talk about in these pictures. Okay. We'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah, I just saw some of the pictures. Yeah. Pretty
so,
cool.
Russ, why don't we talk about what was there before and what were your ideas to get this design to come to fruition when we've got it done now?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, one of the keys that we started off with was, we started with the master bathroom, which was the original builder special. And I think, you know, as we all kind of looked at that bathroom and kind of the wasted space, both in terms of the physical tub and things like that, but also the vaulted ceiling that was probably, you know, almost double the cubic feet in the physical space. When we completed that project, I think it became a catalyst to kind of look at our bedroom, which was, again, kind of a builder special from the, you know, the early 90s with, you know, very high vaulted ceilings and very dramatic, but equally so not, I think, you know, something that, you know, in today's day and age, when you're looking to heat and cool a space, you still want to have kind of an impact in the room, in the space, but you also want it to be more efficient. But also I think, you know, over time, you know, the vaulted ceilings didn't create the ambiance that we were looking for within that room. And when it was time for a change. And so we wanted to still kind of keep some elements of detail and still keep no different than we did with the master bathroom elements of a vaulted ceiling, but also leverage some of the new contemporary ways of like leveraging, you know, a tray ceiling and bringing that style into the space. And so I think kind of starting with the bathroom and then kind of transitioning into that space, we wanted to still kind of maintain some really interesting dynamics of the room and visual appeal, but also make a little bit more pragmatic at the same time.
That he did.
Sounds good. Sounds like you got it all wrapped up there.
It doesn't look like a bedroom. Yeah, it does not look like it. It looks phenomenal. It looks like something you have the magazines you see of those big homes where they...
Well, you just handed the shot to me. I said it looks like the studio here.
Pretty much. Yeah, they sunk
well, you needed some recording equipment and you're ready to go. No, it looks gorgeous, though. It really does. You know, I never understood that. Everybody says, well, it's the builder's windows are still in, or the builder's this or builder's that. Why don't builders put stuff in that?
Because they would put me out of business. If rusted from the beginning, the siding.
So they're thinking of you when they build stuff that people don't like.
I don't want to say that to homeowners because that takes me out of a job, but that's one of the reasons why they're going to maximize their dollars. Home builders when they build the homes with the inexpensive products.
Yeah, they buy tons of it and slap it in there.
Yeah, and slap it in.
We're done. Yeah.
So, but this here
I also think that they do I think they do designs that sell, but I don't think that they think about designs that are livable. And I think
an excellent point.
I think I think once you're in a home for many years, you realize what sold you on the home is not the same thing that is something that's livable on a day-to-day basis. And I think there's a natural transition for people when they buy a home, they buy the sizzle and they buy the sex appeal and vaulted ceilings and big sunken tubs are really, you know, visually appealing. And it kind of gets you energized when you're buying your first big house. And I think that's what we did, and thousands of consumers do all the time.
Yeah, that's
once you're in that house,
good
and
perception.
You live it all the time, yeah. You know, then it's the what's pragmatic, what's real, and kind of what's usable and livable.
Yeah, no, that's a very good take on it, and that's probably what it's all about. You know, let's make it look schmaltzy so it'll sell, right?
Right, right.
Dress it up with definitely. A lot of lights, high hats, and stuff like that, and everybody will go, wow, look at that place.
And here's another thing that Russ was talking about that we did, is the ceilings back in his bedroom and bathroom were extremely high. They were going up to about 16 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you have to heat that space.
You got to heat it, yeah.
So what we did in the bedroom is that we talked about doing that tray ceiling, so we lowered it, built a tray ceiling. So what we had to do was take the insulation paper off the top, leaving the insulation up there, which you can do. Just need to strip the paper down so it doesn't sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And then we re-insulated the lower tray ceiling with R38 insulation. So now it's a lot less to heat up. So with the room being windowed, so that we're done siding, that room's going to be much more comfortable with the heating and air conditioning.
Well, I was going to say that before that tray ceiling went in, I mean, years ago, hot air rises. Were you cold in there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and so you ended up having to crank up the heat in the rest of the house. We only have a single unit heater. So we don't have an upstairs or downstairs. So we would end up having to really, you know, heat the house, you know, higher than we would normally want to just to keep that space available. Even the return, you know, Kevin and I were laughing that the return vent in the wall was probably a 3-foot by 2-foot high return because of there's so much volume in cubic feet of air that it had to, you know, take in. And we were able to even reduce that profile on the wall, you know, to make it a lot more visually appealing too.
Well, to your point, there you go. What they did was build in a design flaw that looked like a wow factor when you walked into the bedroom. Wow, look at this. Yeah. That ceiling. That's back in the days when people really went for high ceilings, right?
Yeah, and it's not economical on the piggy bank to say, hey, let's do these because it looks great.
If you don't have great windows in too. Right?
Well, the front window is still not done. And when we were there during the winter months, it was cold. And the wind was
blowing through
that window. So, and Russ is into the high tech. He loves the Wi-Fi. So with that Hi-Fi, I'm a guy that wants to push a button. So I had to walk to the hallway, say, hey, Google, turn up the heat. So I'm getting used to that, but I just rather just turn it up. Because when you're in there, I felt the cold air coming in. Dave's like, why don't you just go turn it up? You're having some trouble with it. And I actually went back to one of the videos that Russ sent me on how to turn the lights on. Because I couldn't figure out how to turn the lights on. I just wanted to be able to push
a button. What do you have in there, the Google system?
Yeah, so I'm a smart home guy, and actually with the Nest capabilities, it creates great efficiency in heating and cooling of the house because it's a self-learning solution.
Yep, AI.
But all of the switches are Wi-Fi enabled switches, and so everything is accessible via Google. Now everybody busts my stones a little bit and says, you know, what's the matter? You can't get up and, you know, push a button type of thing. But once you actually get used to that engagement, it's very efficient, very easy. You can dim the lights remotely. You can set timers on them throughout the house. And literally, you know, we probably have close to 40 lights all through the Wi-Fi capabilities. And now also equally in the new master bedroom, we did with the tray ceiling, and then we put LED lights within the tray ceiling underneath crown molding. So now we can create a little bit of kind of a, you know, nice vibe in the room that's kind of backlit. So it's not a direct lighting. So if you're
pretty
watching
cool
TV
stuff.
Or something. Yeah. So it's super easy. And then even the ceiling fan, we put on a Wi-Fi switch. So if you're laying in bed and it feels a little warm in the summertime, just say, hey, Google, turn on the ceiling fan.
Well, I'm definitely going to go that way because I have four ceiling fans. I've gone to all LEDs, and I've got two Alexas, one in the kitchen, one in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they when they go off together, it's like there's no way you're going to oversleep. It's impossible. But I believe it too.
You combine that with, you know, the Nest Cam. So we've got, you know, all the Nest Cams for security purposes. We've got all of the, you know, smoke alarms that are connected. So in today's day and age, you know, having a third party product that monitors your smoke alarms or monitors security, you know, everything's notified on your phone. And I know right away whether or not there's an issue at the house or anything like that. And it's, you know, super easy to kind of manage.
Let me ask you this. I mean, we're talking about the bedroom, but this relates to it as well. If you have a power outage, do you have to reset everything?
No, everything comes back up. And yeah, because it basically reconnects to the Wi-Fi system. So, you know, even when Kevin was doing the bedroom, we took out, we don't have any hardwired phone lines. We don't have any coax cable lines anymore. So even the walls are cleaned up because he was removing coax cable outlets, telephone outlets, and everything's Wi-Fi enabled at this point. So everything's, we're a streaming service. We're no third parties in terms of the, you know, the core packages, and no landlines either.
Yeah, it is pretty. You saving money with all this?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, there's certainly a cost element, and I'm sure you guys know this probably more than anybody in terms of transitioning to the LEDs from even a light perspective.
Oh my God!
But once you transition that, there's so much cost savings to do that, but you do have an initial cost outlay. But even when you think about those that have, you know, again, security monitoring services, or those that do others, it's one of those things that, you know, in the long term, it's the best opportunity.
All right. Well, Russ, thanks for coming
on again, Russ.
And doing and coming to your valuable home. And we'll get those pictures up on Facebook to let everybody know what it looks like. So thanks again.
Take care. You're listening to Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is the largest family-owned windows and flooring company in the tri-state area. Join them in celebrating their 65th anniversary with all of their windows on sale. Save $195 per window with Provia Platinum Series. Save $300 to $500 on Bowen Bay windows. Free lifetime product labor and glass breakage warranty. Stop by one of their four showrooms or visit TomAdamsWC.com for a free in-home estimate and 0% financing. Hurry, sale ends February 29th.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
Now back to Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets. If you have a question about a home project for our host, Kevin Kennedy, call him directly, 215-364-3286.
All right, now we're going to jump into the horror story after hearing
what do we got today, Kev? Boy, they keep coming, don't they? The hits keep coming.
And it's not going to stop. There's too many contractors that think they know what they're doing. And I hate to get on the soapbox, but I probably am. I'm going to try to hold off. But it was one of our callers. They called on the show saying, hey, listen, I just had a brand new roof done, and it's been leaking. What can I do? I'm like, well, call the guy back.
Brand spanking new
Brand spanking new. Well, within a year. She said it was within a year.
Yeah.
I said, well, call the roofer back. He's out of business. Here's the best part. It's close enough where I said, listen, I'm in the area. I'm going to be coming home from work one day. Why don't they just stop by to take a look at it and see what the problem is? And the roofer did come out right away the first time and started to fix the leak. Now, here's the thing. If a roof is leaking from the beginning, after you have a brand new roof, and I said it a ton of times on this show, your roofer did not replace the flashing. Shingles do not typically leak. 99% of the roofs that I've ever seen, it's coming in from the flashing.
Couldn't be coming in from the ridge vent up top, too?
Very rarely.
Okay.
Yeah, if everything's properly installed, you're not going to have a leak.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the shortcuts that roofers take. And you think, hey, they got 55 trucks. They got to be good. No. Your roofer should be taking pictures of every element on that roof and showing you. I don't know why they don't do it. How hard is it to take a picture on the cell phone?
For instance, if they're taking a picture of flashing, it's got to be in more than one spot, too.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Or just take a couple of them, because when you're replacing the flashing, that's when you know you're going to get the job done right. If you want to have fun with your roofer, if you just had a roof, tell them to come back and say, hey, listen, now the job's done. Listen, lift up that flash, that J-channel, and just take some pictures of the existing flashing that was there or the new flashing that you put in and see if it is new, because I'm sure it says it in the contract. This contractor left the existing flashing. So you had a 5-inch shingle.
Get charged for it, new flashing?
Absolutely.
Per her estimate?
It was on the contract. And I said, it happens all the time. So here's what, it came down the one side of the roof, the front part of the house. It was leaking into the laundry room and the garage. And what this contractor did is he took blackjack, a real thick tar out of a tube, and siliconed that between the J channel and the roof because he knew it didn't replace the flashing. And if you don't replace the flashing, the holes from the previous shingles, that nails that went through there, are in there. And especially you go from a 5 to a 5/8 inch exposure, those shingles, step flashings, at one point when you take 5/8, 5/8, 5, once you get to 7 inches, you're going to be missing a spot. They left that spot out. They never put a new piece of flashing in. 99% of the roofs I've ever seen, contractors never replace flashing. I don't know why. It says to do it in the contract,
right,
but
so
they
the
don't
only,
do it.
If it's in the estimate, it should always be in the estimate.
In the contract.
Right? In the contract.
It's the most important part of a roof.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But if it's in there, the best way for the homeowner to check is to have that guy go up there and take pictures of all the flashing as it's put down.
Absolutely. I mean, really, the proper way it should be doing is that roofer should say, hey, listen, if you have vinyl siding, this is the easiest part. They should be able to pull that siding out around that roof, run the ice and weather shield up that wall on both sides, and tie in the synthetics and the existing ice and weather shield that they're going to be putting down up the wall about 8 inches, and then run your flashing in, and then tape that J-channel to that ice and weather shield if there's no underlayment, or if there's Tyvek under there, seal that over top of the step flashing, and then put the siding back. I don't know why people don't do it, and I tell people, listen, for that little extra time that you're doing, you're not doing the roof again. It's going to last you 40 years. Why not do it right the first time? And if it's in the contract...
If you don't do it right the first time, it's not going to last at all, as per this case, right?
And this is what upsets me, is that I don't do roofing anymore. I got out a long time ago because of the situation, is that you have the subcrew come in. They say, hey, look, we're going to not get paid for it, so we're not going to do it. Why take this extra time to do it? Well, that's what you're paying for. And I tell you, any of the roofer wants to come on the show and talk about it, I would love to have them on to say, hey, why do you need to replace it? You do need to replace it. Yes, there are areas like a stucco that's going to be very difficult to do it. I get that. But the most important part of that roof is the flashing. And then you need to explain to the homeowner that, hey, I cannot get to the flashing and here's why. But nobody does that. Everybody that calls the show and says, I have leaks in my brand new roof, it's the flashing. And these are the problems that I personally see. Now, I've been in business for 30 years. So I'm doing siding jobs and the roof was just done. I'd say at least 9.5 out of 10 times that I went and started doing that siding job, and they'd be like, hey, they put new flashing in. I'm sure of it because it's a really good roofing contractor, reputable in the area. Does he sub out? Well, yeah, we kind of knew they were subcontractors, but we can communicate with one of them.
Well, see, there's another problem there. I mean, if the guy had it on the estimate, and he may have all good intentions too, but if the subs say, we're not going to put it in there, right? And he doesn't check on it, there's no QC, you got a problem.
The problem is the contractor really shouldn't be in business. What are you in business for?
Yeah.
Look, you can come anyone on my job. I tell people, listen, come to my job anytime. Anybody wants to come to the jobs. Dave and I are there. So you can come anytime because I want you seeing what we're doing. I want you to see that I'm physically working. But everybody today is about S&S, salesmen and subs. That's all it is. So I tell people, listen, you know, when you ask the contractor who's doing the work, when you ask me, Dave and I are going to be here. If I'm doing your siding, Dave and I are physically the ones, and I'm going to put it in the contract. And if not, you don't pay me because I'm going to put it in the contract. But that's the difference with us and everybody else.
So if somebody would object to taking pictures of the step
get rid of them. Out.
You need another roofer,
out,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's okay. The roofers are dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks they can do roofing. All they are salesmen. You want to make sure that these elements are there. And here's another thing I always tell people in this area. So talking Philadelphia all the way up to maybe Boston area, ice and weather shield. Nobody properly installs it. The way it really should be done is that ice and weather shield's got to be dipped below the gutter behind the fascia. Because once you give that element, which is the ice damming, the ice to work its way underneath that plywood, you're going to have ice damming and it's not stopping the problem. So why not do it right the first time? So you know what a roofer said to me? It costs more money. And I said, absolutely. But why don't you give the homeowner that opportunity to ask them, hey, by the way, if you want this, we can bring this ice and weather shield down. It's going to cost a little bit more money to take the gutter and fascia down, but to put it up, but you're done for 40 years. Why not do it right the first time? Give the homeowner the option of that, because it's not going to work in the summertime. What they do is right all the way up until November, December, January, February. But in this part of the area, in Philadelphia, all the way around the mid-region of the United States, where you have that melt of the snow during the winter months, that's where it's going to cause problems. Mm-hmm. And about 2 to 3 years ago, when we had these problems, people were calling me up saying, hey, I had a brand new roof on. The roofer's giving me some BS. Could you come out and take a look at it? And I said, yeah, here it is. When you lift those shingles up, I can see the end of the plywood and that gap between the fascia and the plywood. And when you see that, it gives a path for ice to reverse icicle, I call it ice damming.
Yeah, if it, give it in builds up in the gutters, it's going to go just to the path of least
resistance.
Straight inside.
Yeah, and straight as a 2,000 PSI, so it's definitely going to...
I think I told you a story. I had an addition on my old house, and I'm in there working one day. It was my, you know, workspace, my office, and it started raining in there. And it was like an ice storm right before mm-hmm. that. I had the flu. I'm up on my roof banging with a hatchet to get all the ice off so it wouldn't back up. Saved the day, but it was, I mean, some aggravation.
Not fun,
you
is
don't
it?
Need.
But if you had that done.
I didn't have the ice shield on there, obviously.
But if, again, today if I see that, so if I said, hey, Ron, it's going to cost about another $600 to never have a problem.
Do it.
Would
spend
you do
the money.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But why don't they do it? That's the problem I have with these roofers today. Everybody thinks it's done and done correctly, and it's not. And that's one thing here at the show we're going to be able to educate you on is how to properly get that estimate. Yes, it is going to cost more money. I understand. But why is it that most of the people are calling about roofing and windows and these are the problems I'm running into? So if you ask these questions from the beginning, say, hey, listen, these are the things I'm going to need. And yes, it is going to cost more money to do it this way. You're never doing it again. If I do your windows and we're putting a Marvin window in, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be able to do your windows again because I don't know if I'm going to be in business another 30 years. So, you know, maybe 15, 20 more years, which 50 years in business is great. But you don't want to have to replace it. You don't want to put more money out of your pocket. And I don't want you coming on the show talking about having a bad job and a horror story. If you do it right the first time, you get the right contractor, you're never going to come on the show. So stick with us.
Yes, stick with us because we are going to be talking to two representatives from Habitat for Humanity and Restore, two organizations that do wonderful work.
Great segment.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is the largest family-owned windows and flooring company in the tri-state area. Join them in celebrating their 65th anniversary with all flooring on sale. Save 15% off on 100% waterproof and durable Pergo Extreme floors. Get Mohawk's Revwood flooring for only $5.99 per square foot installed. Save up to 15% off on in-stock Serona Silk from Mohawk. Stop by one of their four showrooms or visit TomAdamsWC.com for a free in-home estimate and 0% financing. Hurry, sale ends February 20th. 29th.
Welcome home. This is Your Valuable Home, presented by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
I want to thank our listeners for coming back to hear Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I know, Ron, the horror stories are always a downer because people are always getting ripped off.
So let's lift everybody up now.
With this college.
Yeah,
so what
do we
got?
Yeah. We got something very, very, very cool here. We have with us in the studio, Bucks County Director of Restore, BJ Breisch. And we have with us Greg Bradley, too, is the relationship manager of Habitat for Humanity. He's got their organization, their facility is around Temple University, correct?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay. And they're going to be talking to us about all the good work that's being done by Habitat for Humanity and Restore, all the good work they do day in and day out here and across the country. And I love this organization. I personally have donated about 3 or 4 times already, just most recently.
Yeah, we do our customers right do the same thing Christmas. Also. When we're doing kitchens or anything that are brand new that people just don't like, give them a call. So, BJ, let me ask you a question. Could you give our listeners a little bit more information about what Habitat does?
Well, sure, Ron. Habitat for Humanity is a global nonprofit housing organization working in local communities across all 50 states in the U.S. and approximately 70 countries. Locally, we partner with families to make homeownership affordable. We also work with individuals and families who need critical home repairs and customizations to their homes to make them more accessible.
And what's the scope of Restore then?
The Restore is a nonprofit home improvement store. We're open to the public, and you can donate materials to this store, and you can also shop the store. And we are open to the public for shopping and donating that offer new and gently used appliances, furniture, building materials, and more at a fraction of the retail cost.
Yeah, and I've made use of that a number of times, as you well know. You know,
I just half your house.
No, not half my house, but I just donated a lot of Trex material that I didn't use. Probably enough for a 12x12 deck.
Yeah, yeah. Which is going to be good for somebody.
Yeah.
So I know the restorer said gently used. Now, some of the products that we do take out, they're about 5 to 10 years old with customers, and they look great. They're in great shape. They're working order. Was that something that restorer would definitely take?
Well, each restorer is a little bit different, but for the most part, as long as it's in resellable condition, gently used, you know, something that's still in working order would be something that a store would want, yeah.
So your advice to Kevin when you go in and do a kitchen over, don't rip and strip. Save it, right? Cabinets?
Absolutely. You know, cabinets in good condition, even if it's not a complete set. But ideally, you know, if you had a whole complete kitchen cabinet set, the Habitat Restore would love to come and pick that up.
Now, both you guys do the same thing. We pick it up?
Yes.
Pick it up.
Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia Restore, same business. So we would also love to be considered as folks are doing renovations. So like you mentioned, no sense in just taking a sledgehammer to a nice set of kitchen cabinets.
Tell Dave that.
Have you done? No, Dave, his partner.
My
former
Dave, he just loves ripping out.
Dave loves demo, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you can restrain him a little bit and donate some stuff the next time around.
Yeah, well, we do that. It's the first thing I do when I look at a lot of the kitchens, we go in there and I say, listen, the cabinets are in bad shape, and a lot of the homeowners want to get involved into because they know where it's going to. And if the kitchen is in good working order, if it gets in great shape, they're not that old, the cabinets, a lot of the homeowners actually rip it out themselves. It doesn't take much to rip that out because they know where it's going. And when you guys come out, it's great because we know it's going somewhere. They're happy with it, and everybody, it's a win-win for everybody.
Let me ask you this. If, say, you got a big item like cabinets, or mine was heavy. I donated a lot of Trex right before Christmas time, was that past year. Do you have to pack it up a certain way when the guys come out to pick it up?
So we have limited resources, obviously, and we're picking up a lot of donations. So the more you can pack or you can prepare the product that we're coming to pick up beforehand, it's very beneficial. Now, certain restores may go into your home. Others may just want the material to be available curbside or in the garage when they come out to pick up. Each restore is different. I would recommend that if you're interested in donating to the restore, you go check out where your local restore is. When you talk to them and schedule your donation, ask them what the criteria is for picking up that donation.
Okay, so you want to be set because you don't want to have them come out and then have to go back and then come out again, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, sure, Ryan, with yours, you had 16 or 12-foot boards. So if you package that off, there's no way
12s and 16s, yeah, 12s and 16s.
That had to be at least 2,000 pounds. I'm sure it had to be individually.
Oh, yeah. No, what we did, I had Rosemary's nephew come over, and he held it up. And we wrapped them. We shrink-wrapped them together in bundles so they could pick up the bundle instead of dealing with the individual boards. That's the way I conquered that.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Hey, you're hired.
Huh?
You're hired.
Good. I'll be on the job tomorrow morning. Yeah. But with cabinets or anything, you know, like household stuff like that, would you wrap them? What would you suggest?
It depends on the material. Yeah, building materials, you would definitely want to somehow try to find a way to secure them. I mean, you have to think everything that we're picking up is going on the back of a box truck. So we don't want things rolling around and rattling all over the place when we do pick them up and put them on the truck. We want to make sure we get them back in the store in the same condition we picked them up in. So if you have stuff that you can wrap up or pack up, cabinet drawers, if you can tape them down or you can somehow secure them, anything you can do to get them prepared and ready to go on the back of a truck is very helpful.
What wouldn't you take that's coming out of a house?
That's a good question. Again, that's going to be something that depends on the individual restore that you're going to want to check with. There are certain things that are pretty common in terms of the restores not accepting them, and those are going to be things like your entertainment centers. Because people just don't use those anymore for those big screen TVs, which is another item that I can't think of a restore that would take anymore these days.
Big screen TV? No.
Yeah, no. People really aren't taking those. Maybe the newer flat screen varieties, but not those.
The big tube on the back.
Those big tube TVs.
Or the movie, you can't even pick them up.
Yeah, growing up, so where they said, "Hey, Dad, what's at the back of the TV?" When he talks to Adam Sandler, that's the TV.
Yeah, no.
Because I know they took a couple of the newer ones. A lot of people it didn't fit in those entertainment units, and we cannot dispose of. We just can't throw them in a dumpster. So what we've done is called Restore to take the newer flat screen TVs that are great work in order, but you're getting pretty much a free TV at that point. You know, the 43 inches, because people now today are going with those big 80 inches, and they just don't know how to get rid of the electronics. They just can't throw these newer TVs
and
out.
And the new ones are so cheap anyway, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. So if we can just donate that, it's not another bad idea. If you have a newer TV, not ones with a big tube that weigh about 1,000 pounds, those are the ones I'd get.
Yeah, and again, I'd say check with your store. I mean, a lot of them are coming around to starting to take televisions again, but we pretty much stopped taking them completely across the stores when all you had were those big TVs.
You're that little lull there to get rid of those TVs, the ones that have been hanging around for a while.
Let's get in a little bit to the scope of this operation. Greg, you're in Philly?
Yes.
And are there other ones in Philly?
We are Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia, so we're the only Habitat
in Philly
here in the city.
Okay, and you're in Bucks County. How many are there, say, like in our broadcast area, which would be southeastern Pennsylvania, pretty much all of New Jersey, and pretty much all in Delaware?
You'd probably be looking at upwards of like 25 affiliates, give or take. It's usually geographically defined by county.
So it's not hard to find one.
No, not at all. So all you can actually visit habitat.org, and you can type in your zip code to find your nearest restore. And that really streamlines the process. So you can see, you know, by proximity and also which county you're in, who's the easiest folks to
All right,
to
so when you do, when you're doing that, when you're trying to find out where they are, it's probably not a bad idea to check out what they'll take too, right?
Exactly. And I think to your point earlier, you're talking cabinets and demo. It's never a bad time before you get started on a project. I know a lot of these projects take a little bit to replace a kitchen, to take a picture while things are still intact and good condition in place. Take a photo, send it over to your restore so they see what it looks like. Nice, good condition. And then before you bring in your team and you remove the cabinets and have them in the garage waiting for the restore team.
Look, all right, well, we've got a lot more
to
talk
about
here.
We've got to pay for this.
Yeah, and you're listening to the Your Valuable Home on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tonight's edition of Your Valuable Home is brought to you by Tom Adams Windows and Carpets.
Tom Adams Windows and Carpets is the largest family-owned windows and flooring company in the tri-state area. Join them in celebrating their 65th anniversary with all of their windows on sale. Save $195 per window with Provia Platinum Series. Save $300 to $500 on Bowen Bay windows. Free lifetime product labor and glass breakage warranty. Stop by one of their four showrooms or visit TomAdamsWC.com for a free in-home estimate and 0% financing. Hurry, sale ends February 29th.
Looking for a home improvement contractor? Look at experience. We've got 30 years under the same name. Very unusual in this business. Look at their strengths. We excel at indoor projects like kitchens and baths, outdoor projects like siding, windows, and doors, even entire additions. We've introduced products for national manufacturers and won awards for our work. Look at who does the work. With VSP, the owner and the foreman of 23 years are always part of the team. Look for fair terms. VSP asks for no more money down than the law allows in this area. Our pricing is never the lowest and usually not the highest. We deliver great value for the money. Looking for a home improvement contractor who will produce what they promise? Look to VSP Home Remodeling. Call Kevin Kennedy at 215-364-3286 or email him at vsphome@verizon.net.
If you're starting a home project, let Your Valuable Home help you avoid the pitfalls of a bad decision. Now back to Ron Milk and contractor Kevin Kennedy.
Hi, we're back, and we are talking to BJ Bryce and Greg Bradley. They represent Habitat for Humanity and Restore. That's their store where you can take things that then people buy. And a fascinating conversation. With Habitat for Humanity, is work done mostly by volunteers? Is it volunteers?
We have a lot of volunteers across the entire organization that are doing great work with us. I know in Bucks County alone, last year, we had over 35,000 volunteer hours.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay. Yeah. And again, Habitat is the building part of the organization, right? You go out and fix people's houses and that kind of thing, right? Or build a house for somebody.
Well, sure. The Habitat for Humanity mission is we're also building and fixing homes. So we'll go out there and we'll rehab homes. We'll also build new homes as well. And a lot of that work is done by volunteers.
Done by volunteers. Do you have like staff people supervise them or whatever?
Yeah, we do have construction teams that are staff that will be supervising the volunteers on the build site.
And what types of people are you looking for? Is it me who probably picked up a hammer maybe twice in his life, or is it somebody like Kevin who has a hammer in his hand every day?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so we say at Habitat that you don't need to lift a hammer to volunteer. And that everyone can make a difference. So we're looking for anybody and everybody to come out and volunteer, because if you can't lift a hammer and swing a hammer on the build site, you can help us by volunteering in the restore. You can help us on one of our special committees. Even our board of directors are all volunteers. So there's always something for someone to do at the Habitat for Humanity or the restore.
Now, with the Habitat, you're I'm presuming doing more renovations than you are new homes, correct?
Depends on the location. I know in Bucks County, we've been doing a lot of home repairs. We've been working with the senior community a lot of aging in place. So we're making homes accessible as well, and doing a lot of different critical repairs as well.
How about you, Greg, in Philly?
Philly is a good combination as well. So we're on average building 10 to 12 new homes, new home construction a year. Our current project is up at 23rd and Oxford in North Philadelphia, kind of that area between Temple University and Brewerytown. So we have a 20 home project going on right now. In that same neighborhood, we're also doing critical home repair. As BJ mentioned, it's a lot of primarily for seniors and veterans. Our goal is safe, warm, and dry. So that's something we really focus on. So sometimes you go into people's homes and there's a lot of different needs. On average, our homeowners are over 70 years old on a fixed income of less than $1,000 a month and living in a home that's 100 years old. So
a lot of old homes in Philly.
A lot of old homes, old housing stock, and older folks. And quite honestly, it's a struggle to both financially and physically keep up with their homes. So aging in place is something we really focus on. And we're doing our goal is around 100 critical home repairs a year.
It's not on Philadelphia. It's, again, it's a little bit different than I'm used to. So with construction down there, I'm presuming roofing, maybe just repairs on roofing, because you don't, again, being dry, do you do a lot of them just in the area of Philadelphia? Because I know there's roofing, there's a lot of issues when it gets to repairs or replacing roofing.
Absolutely, yeah. I think roofs are very, very common, and studies show within 5 years if a roof goes that a house is likely to be vacant. So it's something we really do focus on. I would say on average, we're spending about $20,000 per repair. So we're doing major systems, structural work, roofs, windows, really. And it is not a glamorous work. It is just providing safe, decent, affordable housing to keep people in their homes, in their neighborhoods where they grew up.
And you got a lot of flat roofs in Philadelphia, which are not the average garden variety roofer. That's tough.
Very tough. We do work. We have a lot of good partnerships and subcontractors we work with. So that helps us. We do subcontract some work out, but the majority of our work's done by our team in-house, and we do have some volunteers that come in to help in home repair as well.
We got a great guy for you. We've had him on the show a couple of times. He knows. John knows flat roofs.
Yes, he does.
John, what's the name of this company?
J.K. Roofing.
J.K. Roofing.
John, yeah, he's the owner.
He's
does
a
the
good
work.
Guy. He's a good guy, yeah.
Oh, great. I'm sure in the wintertime you're going to get a lot of phone calls for heating. If the heating pipe burst or the boiler went, is that another thing that you guys would service for the homeowners?
Absolutely. It comes up a lot. So on a given month, we'll receive anywhere from 500 to 800 phone calls for people in need of housing, either housing for them and their family or critical home repair to stay in their homes. So we get an incredible amount of calls each month with folks that need just basic housing assistance.
Now, how do you prioritize that?
For us in Philadelphia, we've started to work when it comes to critical home repair in select neighborhoods. We focus our efforts in a given neighborhood for a period of time, and we'll rotate over time. So currently we're working in that same neighborhood, the Sharswood neighborhood, that area between Temple and Brewerytown, 23rd and Oxford area, and also near the zoo up on Girard. In that area are two primary focuses for critical home repair through different partnerships and just a specific area of need. And when people see Habitat for Humanity working on a new block, for example, and neighbors start to
spread the word,
they're like, yeah, Habitat's here, and our families in the program are paying back on a sliding scale, basically for the work being done. So it's on what was at one point like a $20,000 repair that a family could never afford and might be out literally out of their house in a period of months or years because they couldn't keep up on the home, turns into a sliding scale monthly payment that can be broken down over the next 2 years. So instead of $20,000,
they do have to pay you back then.
It ranges, but what was $20,000 could end up being broken down to $115 a month or $80 a month or something that will allow someone to stay in their
home. Banks financing this stuff?
We do everything. Our fundraising, our partnerships, so we have a lot of great partners that allow us to do that type of work.
Now, what is the criteria for Habitat to purchase or find lots that are available in Philadelphia?
That's an interesting process, as land is incredibly competitive right now in Philadelphia. Everyone knows Philadelphia is in a construction boom.
Philadelphia's rocking.
For many, many years, it was, I would say, much easier for us to acquire land through the city and through partnerships. Now it's becoming a little bit more competitive to the point where we're looking at opportunities to even purchase land for lots of anywhere to 5 to 10 units. And we've explored multifamily, and we're looking at all different types of options to maximize the impact in Philadelphia.
So you're actually competing with then, you know, I'm familiar with, I have a rental property in Kensington. In Kensington and Fishtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow, it's exploding. So you're actually competing with some of the builders there, right?
In a way.
I mean, but in a different way, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, everyone in Philadelphia recognizes how much Philadelphia has changed and the increasing rents, and there's obviously an economical issue at play as well in terms of just what people can simply afford, and I know the city's worked to address that with housing vouchers and different ways to try to keep people in their homes, but Habitat Philadelphia is literally here to make sure Philadelphia is an option for everyone. We don't want folks moving out and being pushed out of their neighborhoods with, you know, development that's going on, which of course has its pros and cons.
Now, BJ, what about Bucks County? Can you give us a little bit of insight on Bucks County, what they do there?
Well, we're actually dealing with similar challenges to Philadelphia. You know, the acquisition of land is difficult. We are partnering with a lot of different organizations and companies that are hopeful to enable, you know, some opportunities for us. One of the reasons why we've switched over to our critical home repair program significantly is because there's a lack of land available to do new builds.
In Bucks County.
So we've been really kind of switching the focus over to more of the home repair, critical home repair criteria. And, you know, you'd mentioned that, you know, you were curious to know how we prioritize. And, you know, in Bucks County, again, it's very similar to Greg Bradley in Philadelphia. You know, one of the main things I would say is, you know, we at Habitat say that Habitat is a hand up, not a handout. And we want to make sure that the families and individuals that we partner with are prepared and they're ready to, you know, take on the expense and you know, everything that's associated with going through that process. So there's an educational piece too to what we do, and we try to be as proactive as possible, making sure that folks have the tools and the resources and, you know how to take care of their home and how to make sure that they're properly maintaining their heater so that they're not calling us in the middle of winter with a broken heater and we now have a critical home repair on our hands. You know, they're educated to know that, you know, they need to maintain these things and take care of them.
So education also for the new homeowners to make sure they're doing it. Sure. That's got to be less money for you in spending and time.
Well, you know, I think of myself. I mean, I've been a homeowner now for 6 years, and, you know, there's still things that I pick up on, you know, today.
You got to listen to the show.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Sounds like I should. Yeah.
I got a question for you. In Philadelphia, we just had Mike McCann, the real estate man, on last time we recorded. And we were talking about the tax abatement program in Philadelphia. So if you build a say you build a building with 8-10 units in it, does the tax abatement pass on to those people who occupy those units?
Currently, tax abatement is a very useful tool for our families. Habitat is the families basically in the Habitat program in Habitat Philadelphia. We've set up so people are paying 30% of their income towards the mortgage. So the average homeowner in Philadelphia that comes through a Habitat for Humanities program is probably paying around $450 to $550 a month for their new home. So that's a really nice new construction, three-bedroom home.
Yeah. What size home is that?
It's around 1,100, 1,200 square feet.
That's fantastic.
Three-bedroom, you know, modern. We actually have green roofs on our current project. It was time we had an opportunity to build a green roof. So it was either that or invest a lot of money in stormwater management infrastructure underground and giant, you know, concrete
tanks. That's a lot of money.
And so we thought, why not build something, you know, creative and new that, you know, in theory will last 3 to 4 times as long as it's, you know, properly maintained and really keep down energy bills as well.
Yeah, smart. I was involved in the green roof project at St. Mary Medical Center in Bucks County. We did a number of them up there.
Oh, I bet. I feel like it's a really great opportunity.
Makes a difference.
I feel like for our homeowners, piggybacking on what BJ had to say, you know, our success and their success are really directly tied to each other. We kind of, as Habitat, we're the family services program. We're bringing families in. We're finding the land. We're building, going through the whole process. So they need to pay their mortgage in order for Habitat to be successful and help the next family.
Now, how some of our listeners be able to volunteer or get a hold of Habitat and Restore?
For you, Greg, and for you, BJ.
Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia. You can visit us at habitatphiladelphia.org and look up our volunteer options. There are, as BJ mentioned, a ton of options, even if you can't swing a hammer. We'd love to have more skilled folks out. So I'm sure you have a lot of skilled listeners that want to come out. And if you want to lend a hand, we'd be happy to have you.
Habitatbucks.org. Check us out.
Good. Okay. Well, this has been fascinating.
Yeah.
And you guys are really doing good work, and I will continue to donate to Habitat. And so will now that you know, you should be ripping out those cabinets, right?
Yeah, yeah, we've been very careful. Anytime we do get a new project, but any of our listeners, really, they should really look into this. It's a great thing they're doing for the community. And one of the things I always like to make sure that everybody's putting their time in. So thanks again for coming on Your Valuable Home this week.
We got to wrap it up, and we got another great show planned for you next week, so stick with us. Tune in, listen, and learn.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Your Valuable Home, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.